The opinions and commentary expressed on the program you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers, but it may weigh heavily on what's between your ears. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger, brought to you by a network of radio stations who care about the communities they serve. Alexa, turn on the Krieger Files.
And we're back on this Monday. This is the day before New Year's Eve. Yeah, who's counting, right? Some new news for those of you that want to support the show. We are now carrying the Helon PF and the Lamb Cream. We'll have Ron Sally on the show to talk about it here shortly, but I want to let you know we have a limited supply of it. So those of you who want to order it regularly because you can't get it anywhere else, used to buy it from the old show, but they're not around anymore. So now I'm carrying it in a very limited quantity. So for those of you who want it, please message me with your contact information through thekriegerfiles.com. You can click on shop and go there and click on that information as well. If you have any questions, you can send me an email at thekriegerfiles.com through our portal and we'll get you hooked up. This is for people that understand the benefits of the Lamb Cream and the Helon PF as far as the biggest organ in your body. Do you know what that is? That's right. If you said your skin, you are correct. Also, Aaron Fussell is a remote online notary. Both my wife and I have used her services. It takes about 5 minutes or so to get a document notarized. If you go to professionalnotaryonline.com or you can call or text 941-400-8282. That's 941-400-8282. And of course, if you miss that number because you didn't have your pen and paper out, you know, I try to tell everybody, look, you know, you're going to learn a lot of stuff on this show here. So you want to take notes because we have all sorts of commentary that we bring out. And sometimes we only repeat it once. But then again, those of you who are listening to us via satellite on Global Star 3 on Channel 1 on your satellite. And then again at 11 a.m. Central, that's where the old show used to be, but I'm there now. And then, of course, at 5 p.m. Central on sqrradio.com, that's Squirrel Radio, we do repeats of all of the shows, Truth Seekers, The Krieger Files, Liberty Roundtable, and, of course, The Big Mig occasionally pops up here and there amongst all the other music and programming we have on Squirrel Radio for those of you who want to celebrate your holidays with us. Now, here's the other thing that's of concern right now, because we are very soon approaching the month of January. And you have to understand that there are emails and YouTube videos circulating online right now that are trying or attempting to, in my book, scaring the hell out of people. Because they think that we're going to have the day after tomorrow. That's the term that was used. You remember the movie with Jake Gyllenhaal? You remember they had to get to New York and they had to get in the library because all of a sudden, you know, there was going to be a cold snap and Dennis Quaid, his father, was trying desperately to get to him. And you remember the movie? Right. The day after tomorrow. Well, there are people online that are pontificating that we're going to have another one of these polar vortexes coming down here that's going to collapse the power grid. Okay. So we're all supposed to just run and hide in our caves. Is that it? I mean, what do you expect us all to do, these folks that are putting this garbage out? First off, half the time that the Weather Service comes out and says stuff, I say weatherman on crack. It's very difficult to trust the National Weather Service, and why is that? Well, because it's part of the federal government, and it's part of science. And, you know, people who don't trust science now because of the lies that they put out, they told us that the jab was safe and effective, science did, and now we're supposed to trust weather? You see, in the only time that, you know, we're going to have temperatures that are in single digits, allegedly, is where I'm at, is on the 16th and 17th of January, where the temperatures are going to be in single digits, 6 degrees and 5 degrees, respectively. The rest of the time, it'll be in double digits. Now, 11 degrees is nothing to sneeze at, but it's not going to cause the lights to go out. Now, if you have a lot of snow and ice, and it warms up enough, or the snow and ice gathers on power lines, well, then of course you are going to have an outage or two. But for the entire country, the way this YouTube poster put it, is scaring the hell out of people. And you don't need to be scared. We've been through cold winters before, and if you're in the northern states, you know exactly what you have to do to prepare. But according to the latest posters here, you want to call them imposters, you can call them that. But the thing is that eastern Tennessee all the way to the northeast and the southeast and everywhere, you know, I mean, it's going to be in the upper 20s on Donald Trump swearing in on the 20th, provided, you know, it's going to be 17 degrees where I'm at, 32 for the high, which means that, yeah, it's going to be chilly. But see, aren't you all prepared for that? I mean, don't you understand that right now this global warming is BS? I wish I could actually say the word out loud, because that's how passionate I am about it, because global warming is BS. It's the greatest hoax in history. And you have to understand, if we've got guys out there pontificating, we're going to go through a polar vortex, likening it to the day after tomorrow. No, excuse me. Those were like minus 40 degrees where everything froze and human beings just shattered right where they were. Their whole bodies just chilled into an ice cube. No, that's, you know, come on, people. Seriously, I mean, you buy everything just because, well, it's a YouTube video, so it must be true. Oh my God, the world's coming to an end. Really? Is this how we're going to look at things? First off, global warming is BS. The world is cooling. It's caused trillions of dollars in malinvestment globally to centralize global resources into the hands of the few. This is the effect that David Rockefeller called for in 1973 when he co-founded the Trilateral Commission with Zbigniew Brzezinski, the New International Economic Order, a.k.a. Sustainable Development, a.k.a. Technocracy. Most cities and towns in America have a climate action plan predicated on this hoax. Imagine how they would feel if all of a sudden we get this blustery temperatures and people walk around and go, "Heh, global warming, huh, you putz?" I would love it if you would walk up to your town official and call him a putz to his face and tell him I said so. Because anybody that's buying into this climate garbage, it's no wonder Trump wants to get us out of the Paris Climate Accord. We need to be as far away from this as possible. You know, the one thing I will say about, and having lived in Kansas before and been through a Kansas winter where the temperatures actually do get down below zero in the wintertime, your batteries cease to function. Once they get that cold, you've got to use some sort of electric jump start. You've got to warm the battery up. Seriously. Then some people, what they do is they go out there and they try to stick the battery in a tub of hot water. No! You've got to warm the battery up with electrical charge. And it's got to sit there for at least a half an hour to an hour before the thing will even begin to warm up and operate. And see, I think we're all prepared for that, right? But I've been through those kinds of harsh winters where the temperatures dips down below zero. And when I hear people on YouTube and places like that, because I watched that video, and when I hear people out there talking about, well, the temperatures are going to be a polar vortex like the day after tomorrow, you know, what do they think is going to happen? Here's another one of these climate scares. We are not going to have global warming. In fact, the temperatures in many parts of the country are going to be warmer than normal, but what do you think happens to the temperatures in January? Of course they dip. What'd you expect? It is colder in January, February, and March. I mean, it is the season, right? It is winter, right? And the thing is that winters, you know, customarily have been fairly mild, depending on what part of the country you live in. But I also used to live in Connecticut, and I remember we used to get 3 feet of snow in one night. And the road plow crews would wait until it was all over, because obviously it would freeze on the surface and they'd have to cut through at least 3 inches of ice to get to the snow, to get to the drive, so they could plow it out. But see, they're prepared. They had the plow crews, they had the salt crews, they had everything, because they're in the Northeast, and Northeast knows you're going to get snow. Same with Orchard Park, New York. I used to live there as well. And that's, you get snow belt like nobody's business. And I remember my dad calling in sick. Well, he's had a snow day. And everybody says, you're full of it, Bob. You're full of it. There's no snow. We're in downtown Buffalo. Where's the... Apparently, they don't understand the snow belt runs south of Buffalo in Orchard Park because they got 3 feet. And then headlines made my dad look really good the following morning and made these guys eat a pile of caca. Yeah, we'll be back with more discussion on the Krieger Files about that black book. Talk soon. Be right back.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
Okay, I like that term, back in the saddle. Yeah, we are here. Just riding into the sunset, that's right. Yep. Today is the 30th day of December. That means there's two more days left in the year. Tomorrow is New Year's Eve. Are you going to go out and party in the sub-zero temperatures and get frostbite? No. I don't think it's going to be that bad. Seriously, the temps here in the 60s today. You have to wonder about, you know, you have a guy out there that has just won. Somebody in California won the $1-point-something billion lottery. Let's shift the thought process here and talk about that $17 million plus taxpayer-funded payments to settle harassment claims leveled against U.S. Capitol officials and offices. Now, I understand what I'm saying, because Thomas Massie, the Republican from Kentucky, he is pressuring for the release of the Congressional Sexual Slush Fund list. Over $17 million, and Marjorie Taylor Greene is part of this group that is supporting the release of this. If we're going to have transparency in government, then we need to harass all of these people out of office. And, you know, we can't do that unless we know who was part of this slush fund and who used Congress to pay out more than $17 million of your money to quietly settle charges of harassment, sexual and other forms, in congressional offices. Taxpayers shouldn't have to pay for that, according to MTG. Mo Brooks, former rep, he chimed in and said, Massie, spot on. Taxpayer money must never be used to secretly bail out sexual harassment and other harassers. Capitol Hill harassing supervisors should foot the bill. That stops harassment. Former Representative Jason Chaffetz also boosted the idea, writing, taxpayers deserve to know. Believe it or not, between 1997 and 2017 alone, the little-known office facilitated 260 settlements and more than $17 million in payouts. Given that number is more than 7 years old, it's safe to say the real grand total is significantly higher, because there's a lot of people out there that once they get there, they can't keep their hands off their staff. They think they're entitled to go fondle other people. And this is also going on. This, the payouts encompass complaints from workers outside the House and Senate, including the Library of Congress and the Capitol Police. You know, that we're talking about people that have made derogatory comments, groped and pawed other people, fondled other people, sexually harassed other people, groped other people, and even worse, screwed other people. So more than $17 million of what they say is our tax dollars. See, this is how we get everybody upset. Because you see, the Democrats feigned outrage over Trump using his own money to buy Stormy Daniels' silence about their alleged sexual encounter. They, imagine the hypocrisy. Feigned outrage. That here's another instance of the pot calling the kettle black. Earlier this month, Matt Gaetz, who was the subject of a House Ethics Committee probe into allegations of using illegal drugs and paying underage women for sex, publicly daydreamed about taking office for just one day to single-handedly reveal the names of everybody who's benefited from the settlement payouts. And, of course, Gaetz posted on X, someone suggested the following plan to me. Number one, show up January 3rd of next year to Congress. Number two, participate in speaker election. I was elected to the 119th Congress, after all. Number three, take the oath. Number four, file a privileged motion to expose every Me Too settlement paid using public funds. The federal government is now $36 trillion in debt. I didn't say it was the national debt, folks. It is poised to post a $3.5 trillion deficit this year alone. $17 million may not sound like much, but the use of borrowed or printed money to settle sexual and other abuse allegations on Capitol Hill is another symptom of a corrupt and fading empire. That needs to be stopped, don't you think? Doesn't that just piss you off a little bit? I mean, understand that. This is craziness. They think they get up there and they can just go fondle anybody they want. They're federal judges that are doing this very thing. And if you're an attorney that does civil rights work, try and go after a federal judge for groping his secretary, his administrative assistant, his legal law clerks, you know? You try to go after one of them and you'll be disbarred. Seriously, they wield that much power. And see, there's been very few federal judges that have been given the boot because they harassed sexually their clerks. Very few. I mean, you really have to bring shame on the judiciary for these people to be ejected. Well, what if you people are caught in a lie? What if you people help the banks steal people's homes? You think you should be ejected for that? I know a lot of people out there that think that. I posted a new Clouded Titles blog this morning. Perhaps you should go look at it. These are things not to do. And I put on there a document which is publicly recorded in the Ninth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals, for those of you that want to go do the research. You know, these are people that are disgruntled, and they go out there and they call themselves sui juris propers, in propria persona, because they hate attorneys, because attorneys just sell people up the river. Attorneys don't know what they're doing. See, attorneys, they're useful for one thing. Number one, they're there to run front for you. Number two, most of them studied and had mock trials, which pro se litigants have never had. And they don't understand court rules. They don't read court rules. There are rules, state rules, federal rules, local rules. And if you don't read them and you don't understand them and what they mean and how timelines are very important and what venues you plead in and what you don't plead in, you're screwed. I mean, we have to stop this nonsense, folks. This is not legal advice. It's just common sense. You cannot file junk in the wrong court expecting to get results. It just does not work. If you're being litigated in state court, that's where you fight. You don't remove it to federal court unless the other party is out of state. The whole idea is if you take it in front of a jury, understand something. State juries are more likely to give you the victory you want and assess the damages you want. If you take it in front of a federal jury, that's only a jury of six in a civil realm. 12 in the criminal, six in the civil. That means you've only got six brain deads that are looking into your stuff and could rule against you. And, you know, what's to stop a federal judge from saying, I'm going to throw that verdict out. I mean, state judges have done it, but most of the time these jury verdicts in state courts favor the victim. If the victim can prove their case, this is another problem. We seem to have this emotional thing going on where people run into court screaming and yelling, I've been done wrong, and they look entitled. I mean, they exude it. Everybody just loves to walk into court demanding a free house. In a foreclosure case and the judge, man, they smell them like sharks on chum. They smell that exuding entitlement. That's where I came up with that little snippet that I sing at my classes. This is the dawning of the age of entitlement. Age of entitlement. Entitlement. Yeah. Now, I must have shocked the other side. My board ops are probably freaking out. They go, God, that guy can sing. you see, this is the thing. You walk into court and you act like you own the place or that you're all that plus a bag of chips. And man, that judge sees you coming a mile away. And if you don't have your act together and you don't have your case together and you walk in there and you let emotions instead of the law run your case for you, you are going to get thrown out on your ear and out of your house on your ear as the foreclosure crisis continues, which is what prompted me to do a post this morning on both my Substack, that's DaveKrieger.substack.com, and on ClouddedTitlesBlog.com. things not to do with your case, things you can learn from other people's mistakes, because it appears to be something that is fairly well ongoing, because I've got a file of pro se cases that'll just totally blow your mind. There are very few litigants out there that have actually won their case, moved forward in their case, both in state and federal courts, and are still fighting. But you see, here's the thing. With foreclosure crisis back in 2008, 98% of everybody that got served with foreclosure notices packed up their bags and moved out of their house and let the banks just have it. They just put a guilt trip on these people, and instead of fighting for what, you know, what is this, the American dream? I guess not. What, did you lie on your mortgage loan application, or did you let somebody do it for you? Why do you think these banks and collection agencies and these, they call them mortgage loan servicers, why do you think they do that? Why do you think they use power over tactics and scare homeowners? Well, we can't fight the banks. We don't have any money. How did you supposed to know that you were going to put 10 grand into a bank account just to pay for legal fees to defend your house from foreclosure if you happen to go into default? Well, first off, you don't understand. Default has to be proven by the party foreclosing on you, not you. It's not the other way around. They're going to walk into court, and they're going to show the judge, well, here's their pay statement. This is where they quit making the payments. And see, if you don't know anything about securitization, because the majority of the loans were securitized, if you don't know anything about securitization, well, guess what? You've already lost. Because, you see, you weren't the borrower. Did you understand what I just said? You know, you try to convince these people out there, they refer to themselves as debtors. Excuse me? You're not the one who borrowed the money. How can you be a debtor if you didn't borrow the money? Go figure that one out. Wow. Gonna take a break for news. We'll be back on the other side here on the Krieger Files for this Monday. Stay with us.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
Back on the other side of the break, is it time to boycott Costco? I mean, look at it this way. Several companies this past year, including Tractor Supply Company, Harley-Davidson, John Deere, Lowe's, and others, have announced they're going to repeal their DEI policies after facing pushback from conservatives and lawmakers. But no, not Costco. No, its board of directors has encouraged their shareholders to vote to support its DEI program, that's diversity, equity, and inclusion, after it got a proposal to reject the practice. The National Center for Public Policy, a conservative think tank, urged Costco shareholders and the board to strike DEI because it promoted discriminatory practices, according to the Kirkland, Washington-based retailer in a statement to shareholders. Well, Washington State. Come on. This is why they don't want to cancel it. I mean, DEI holds litigation, reputational, and financial risks to the company. Therefore, financial risk to shareholders, according to the National Center for Public Policy. I mean, it sent it right over to Costco and said, look, you got 310,000 employees. You know, Costco likely has at least 200,000 who are potentially victims of this type of illegal discrimination because they're white, Asian, male, or straight. And they're in Washington. What do you think you're going to have? A lot of Asians over there. There are big Asian populations all along the West Coast. Now, what happens when you piss one of them off? All of a sudden, now you got lawsuits. What happens to shareholders? They get kicked in the can. So maybe, you know, we need to, before it gets to that point, should we send a message to Costco and tell these people, hey, we're not going to have a membership anymore. We're done here. We'll go to Sam's Club instead because they don't have woke policies. I mean, somebody needs to teach these people a lesson, just like home invaders. Home invaders do not understand, especially if you're in Florida, because they have a stand your ground law. But I use the Castle Doctrine and the Threshold Law, and some states you need to check your laws on duty to retreat. Because some laws have duty to retreat there. They give the invader the benefit of the doubt that he should get all the way into your house, all the way into your closet where you're hiding before you open fire on him. Because you have a duty to retreat to avoid shooting somebody else. That's the way the law basically reads. So if a duty to retreat means you got to run and hide and let them find you, you know, what are they going to do? Like The Shining? Here's Johnny. What are they going to do? Run through the house and go, come out, wherever you are. I want to shoot you. Yeah. How's that going to work? I mean, they've already announced what their intentions are. They've kicked in your front door. You know, Brian Malinowski thought they were home invaders. Turns out it was the ATF, jackbooted fascist thugs. Shot him in the head twice. Guy's dead. They were serving a search warrant, not an arrest warrant. He wasn't resisting arrest. He thought it was a home invasion. Well, see, in Florida, home invaders should expect to be shot, according to Rick Wells, who is the Manatee County Sheriff on the Gulf side. For those of you who don't know where Manatee County is, it's just south of Tampa. This is the state of Florida, according to Sheriff Wells. You want to break into somebody's home, you should be expected to be shot. And that matters because in 2005, Florida legislature passed the Stand Your Ground law, which removed the duty to retreat from an intruder when acting in purported self-defense in the home of the home dweller, reasonably believed they were in danger. The Stand Your Ground law is widely associated with the 2012 shooting death of Trayvon Martin. You remember that. He was an unarmed 17-year-old in Florida by George Zimmerman who killed him, in which he was a neighborhood watch captain who claimed he was acting in self-defense. He was charged with second-degree murder and manslaughter, but was acquitted by a jury. Sheriff Wells said, over the weekend, local authorities received a call about shots being fired at roughly 9 p.m. last Thursday night in Lakewood Ranch, south of Tampa. Lakewood Ranch is a very, I've been through there. It's a very upscale area of Manatee County. It also goes into Sarasota County. And it's right by University Mall, which is University Town Center, which is massive, massive shopping district on both sides of I-75, right? Been there, lived there, understand it. I know how it works. The homeowner, who has not been named, told deputies on the scene two masked men had attempted to break into the property and that he had shot one of the intruders. The injured intruder was still in the property when the cops got there. The other one fled the scene, but they soon caught up with him. The homeowner was alerted by cameras outside the house, told his wife to find a safe space while grabbing his firearm. The homeowner fired at least three shots at the suspect while the other one climbed halfway through a window before retreating. The latter was found four blocks from the scene. Of course, now they've been charged, you know, big time. Home invasion, burglary, attempted burglary, all that good stuff. But I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you're going to walk into a, break into somebody's house, you know, especially during dark hours. Well, there's a problem. Apparently, there's a lot of people out there that don't understand. I mean, we're talking about a lot of illegal immigrants out there because of the fact, look what they got away with. Don't think that what happened in New York with them beating up two cops and getting away with setting people on fire in a subway, it's just made these people emboldened, and they want to go out and they want to just commit carnage on the United States. Well, guess what, folks? You know, if they can't understand no hablo inglés, you know, if they can't understand that, then we have a serious problem. They will understand the business end of a 45 or a 9 mil. They'll understand the business of that. And speaking of illegal immigrants, guess what? The Texas border wall, that looks like a piece of whatever the Biden administration was trying to discard and auction off. Texas just won and blocked the Biden administration from disposing of any further border wall materials before President Trump takes office, because you know they were doing it. They want to make it as hard on Trump as they can, providing that, you know, they don't do something screwy on J6 to piss off the American people and make them want to go crazy on Congress. I think, seriously, folks, if you understand this, if Antifa and everybody else wants to go out there and protest, they'll put up barriers, trust me. They're not going to make the same mistake again. Pelosi is not in charge here. Speaker Johnson, rather than playing with his Johnson, he's going to, you know, possibly say, look, we need to put up barriers. We need to have barricades. We need to have fencing. We want this to be peaceful. We don't want people to rush the, you know, and break in windows and do the same thing and have a repeat performance of what happened in 2020. What do you want to make a bet they try to do that and just wall up the whole place so they can have their little session in peace? And there are people that think that Johnson is a rhino and a sellout, and they want him gone. So we'll see what happens on January 3rd. That's when the fun starts. That's when all of Congress gets sworn in. And then they have to elect a speaker. And, of course, this is why everybody's going, come on, we need to just keep Johnson in there. We don't need to waste our time. This is just going to put off certification of the vote. This is going to put... Oh, come on. Folks, don't you understand how all this works? You understand the duty of the Senate as well? And who's in charge of the Senate? Yeah, Harris. Old chlamydia herself. That's right. chlamydia, you know, one of the conditions of that disease is this oozing, the seepage. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's why I call her chlamydia, because she just oozes word salad. This is a problem for us because she is running things for the electorate. So Texas, you know, managed to file suit, according to Ken Paxton. He's their AG down there in the Lone Star State. This follows our major victory forcing Biden to build the wall and will hold his administration accountable for illegally subverting our nation's border security until their very last day in power, according to Paxton. Texas is now entitled to documentation, according to the release, that proves the Biden administration has not gotten rid of border wall materials, which would violate an injunction from Paxton earlier this year. If it has, the Biden administration could be held in contempt of court. Well, how's that going to work? You really think that some judge is going to hold the entire Biden administration in contempt of court, really? I don't think so. I gotta love that Andy Looney, man. I really miss him. You know, you ever wonder how far up Telly Savalas and Yul Brynner wash their foreheads? I wonder about that sometimes, you know. Speaking of senior funnies, we need a little levity on the show. I got an email the other day about what seniors need to do the older they get and how they think. These rules for seniors, right? And I'll go down this list. This is funny. I mean, we have enough time to do this before the break. Number one, talk to yourself. There are times you need expert advice. Number two, in style, are the clothes that still fit. Number three, you don't need anger management. You need people to stop pissing you off. Number four, your people skills are just fine. It's your tolerance for idiots that needs work. Number five, the biggest lie you tell yourself is, I don't need to write that down. I'll remember it. Number six, on time is when you get there. Number seven, even duct tape can't fix stupid, but it sure does muffle the sound. Number eight, it'd be wonderful if we could put ourselves in the dryer for 10 minutes and come out wrinkle-free and three sizes smaller. Number nine, lately you've noticed people your age are so much older than you. And number 10, growing old should have taken longer. Yeah, you gotta love it. Little funnies for today. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
All right, wrapping up this last 12 minutes. Thought I'd let you know the White House. I love it when they write these stories in the Epoch Times. The White House has identified a ninth U.S. telecom network that Chinese state hackers have compromised, according to a senior official. The White House has identified. Can you see that? You know, I mean, they're a big finger comes right out of the house and goes, ha, there you are. No. No, see, it's Ann Neuberger, who is Deputy National Security Advisor for Cyber and Emerging Technology. Go figure that one out. Here's another branch. These cybersecurity gurus out there. Salt Typhoon. Ever heard of that? It's a hacking group which carried out a wide-ranging espionage campaign since 2022 on all of our major telecommunications networks like Verizon, AT&T, and CenturyLink. and they're still embedded in the U.S. infrastructure, and they're still gleaning data and stealing it. Got it? And, of course, the hackers also, according to Neuberger, focused on very senior American political figures and stolen vast troves of American data. And she said over the weekend they still don't have a good sense of the total scope of the breach. But Verizon and AT&T, oh, everything's fine. Everything's fine. There's nothing to see here. Remember that, Leslie Nielsen? You know, the building's on fire and things exploding and crews are out fighting a big, massive fire. Oh, there's nothing to see here. Yeah. Let's see what else we got besides Flax Typhoon, Volt Typhoon. I mean, some of these systems are still embedded in our technology. Verizon said in a statement to the Epoch Times that it's notified a small number of high-profile customers in government and politics who've been targets of the hackers. But, of course, you know, we've not detected threat actor activity in our network for some time. AT&T said the same thing. No activity. There's nothing to see here. Yet we're supposed to trust them, right? We're supposed to trust them implicitly. With all of this going on, how do we know? You know, what are we sharing online? Here's something you need to understand what's going on here. Social Security Fairness Act. Yeah, can you believe it? This has created a $200 billion boondoggle because of what they've done. And I'm talking about Congress here. They just passed a law that is going to give extra Social Security benefits to millions of people in the government that don't deserve it. They haven't earned it. The original Social Security Act included unintentional and overly generous benefits for government employees. These benefits were benefits that no other Americans could get. About 50 years ago, a more responsible Congress recognized this and created two laws to correct it. The windfall elimination provision said the Social Security retirement benefits for government employees should be figured in the same way as those for all other senior citizens. The government pension offset law said that government pension should offset any Social Security spousal benefits potentially due, just as Social Security retirement benefits have always offset those same spousal benefits. But now, bowing to relentless pressure from government employee unions and advocacy group, a more naive and vote-seeking Congress repealed both of those acts. So once again, government retirees are going to get overly generous Social Security benefits that no other senior citizens in the country are eligible for. And by so doing, they put a $200 billion hole in an already rapidly deflating Social Security budget balloon. Huh. Are we all going to be screaming about that? That's something else you want to, you know, I really think that, you know, once Elon and Vivek get in there, that we should, you know, go attack this, because to me, it's discriminatory. They're getting benefits they don't deserve. I'm going to be getting a book in the mail from Humanix Books about homeschooling, and it was written by Sam Sorbo. Know that name? I'm going to go through it, and then I'm going to bring Sam on the show. I'm going to do a whole hour segment with her. She doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to have her on for a whole hour. One, because they have their own movie studio. And I want to talk to her about that because they're putting out some very exciting flicks that people need to see. And Sam Sorbo, I mean, if you don't know her husband, Kevin, he's been in several movies as well, especially the kind of movies that, you know, make Hallmark blush because, you know, they're right on. You know, they're trying to do the right thing. They're doing just the opposite of what the woketopus, the dark money cabal manipulating the federal government is doing. Here's the thing. There are 16 U.S. states out there that have curriculum standards that force teachers' hands and what they do to teach your children gender identity. Yeah. And all the terms associated with it. They want to go in and teach your kid that it's okay to refer to yourself using these pronouns. And whether you're cisgender, transgender, non-binary, or whatever other thing you need to ply them with, contradicting basic biology and tradition, posing a real danger to impressionable kids by telling little boys they may really be girls, schools prime them for experimental medical interventions that leave kids stunted, scared, infertile. The fact that medical societies endorse these interventions, oh, it's a money-making scheme. We got to do it while we have a chance. Do you think any medical boards are running these people out? I mean, you know, you preach against COVID-19 jabs and boy, they come after you with a fever, but you want to cut off some little boy's penis? Then what? You want to lop off some little girl's breasts? Then what? You teach gender identity and you confuse these kids and you set them on a destructive path. So, California, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts. Did you get that? That's just part of the list of states that are all part of this, right? There's 16 of them out there. Force transgender garbage on your children. That's one of the reasons I want to have Sam Sorbo on the program. I'm very excited to go look up this book that she's put out on homeschooling. It is actually, I homeschooled my youngest daughter. It's actually easier than you think. Now, for those of you out there that have a Christmas tree, you know, I'm talking about the live one. You know, it's real easy post-Christmas. I mean, some people wait till January 6th and then they proceed to disassemble the house. That's okay. Take all the decorations down on Epiphany. That's their celebrated, so, you know, they wait and then of course they're sitting there with this live tree and going, well, what are we going to do with this? I don't want to throw it out. Well, how about eating it? That brings back that commercial. Remember Yule Gibbons? Ever eat a pine tree? Some parts are edible. Remember that? Did you know you actually can eat parts of the tree? According to British chef Julia Georgialis, bakers can use Christmas tree needles like an herb in the same way you might use rosemary. Her book, How to Eat Your Christmas Tree, contained dozens of festive recipes, including instructions for Christmas cured fish and Christmas tree ginger and ice cream. Additionally, pine needles can be used to make tea, which scientists say can boost immunity and soothe colds. Certain pine needle molecules can play an important role in regulating metabolism, according to WebMD. These ideas, of course, are not recommended if you have a fake tree. There are people out there that actually do that, you know. Oh, we got to tell you, it only works for live trees, right? All right, what else is going on here? 29 House Republicans are asking Trump to end IRS direct file via day one executive order. 24 states the service is expected to be expanded to with the 2025 tax filing season. Direct file is run as a pilot program with more than 140,000 taxpayers in 12 states using the service. IRS announced it's going to become a permanent option for filing federal returns starting in the 2025 tax season. Folks, I'm telling you something. If you don't understand how, I mean, most CPAs and even the IRS themselves does not understand their own tax code. So you go direct filing and thinking that you all know that, you're as bad as some of these pro se litigants that go into court and file the kind of crap that they do, thinking that the court's going to acknowledge it. Ouch. You don't want to do that. And meanwhile, people are looking at Zuckerberg, Mark Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg, what kind of, nationality, what kind of faith is he? Zuckerberg. Bloomberg's Emily Chang sat down with him and asked him about this 4,500-square-foot underground structure he's building on his 1,500-acre ranch in Kauai. That's in the 50th state, by the way. Do you have a bunker there? Is there something you know we don't? Oh, it's just a little shelter. It's just a basement. Yeah. Yeah, the billionaire said his whole ranch got blown out of proportion. It was just some kind of doomsday bunker, which is just not true. Really? Wired revealed in 2023 that the bunker was about 4,500 square feet in size, equipped with a blast-resistant door, and enough food for tech bro and friends to survive an apocalypse. So what Zuckerberg know about the future world events coming down the pipe we don't know? Wow. You remember that? Zillow had a bunker listed in an old missile silo in Missouri with EMP shielding and one in Kansas for $100 million. Seriously. Remember what the Bible says about those who go and run and hide in the mountains? Think about that for a minute. And then just pray we have a better 2025, okay? Would you do that for me? In the meantime, hey, we'll be back tomorrow for New Year's Eve for a broadcast. God bless you and God bless the United States of America. Stay safe.